Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Today's conversation is with Beth Slavitt, member, Merit Systems Protection Board. And joining us in our conversation is Bob Reeve, another PwC partner.
Beth, how do you measure your success, and what kind of feedback have you gotten from other federal agencies and HR practitioners?
I actually think the Government Performance Results Act is a good tool to help measure our success.
It has made us focus on cases, how many cases we're getting out, the efficiency of them, the reversal and remands, but not just on cases, what we're producing, what we thought we could produce, always being trying to be reasonable. I don't think you should ever set unreasonable expectations, but focus on the things that you needed to deliver and then look back a year later and see whether you've delivered them or not. I think the feedback we've gotten, and of course there's two different kinds of feedback that the MSPB gets. One is how effective we've been in getting out our message as an agency, as an independent agency that is truly independent and makes good legal decisions. And I think we have an excellent reputation. One way we measure that is how often we're affirmed by the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. Another way to measure that is talking to the parties and getting a sense of whether they may say, yes, I lost, but it was a well-written decision, and I understand why I lost. So that's one way to measure feedback, as well as some of the things we talked about before through the website, through our surveys. And looking at whether the initiatives we've undertaken, we've accomplished, and we are happy with, and other people are happy with. We established an expedited petition for review program where we tried to feed out those cases that appear to be more frivolous and not let them or had less merit that we might not have jurisdiction over, for example. When I say frivolous, case is an example of a Safeway employee comes to us. Well, we don't have jurisdiction over a Safeway employee. We're obviously going to dismiss that case. And it does happen because people think, oh, we can solve everything with a Merit Systems Protection Board. That must mean we ensure merit. Well, there's no reason why that should get bogged up in the system. So the question is in terms of measuring success, is what obstacles did we have to overcome? How did we overcome them? And can we duplicate that? And can we avoid the problems that we had in the past? And in the next exercise that we have to do, the next task we have to accomplish, avoid those problems or take them into consideration. So those are the things that you just have to identify what the obstacles are and try to get around them.
What's your view of the trend in which agencies secure special personnel authorities outside of Title V?
I think if they do it, I think it has both dangers and possibilities. And the dangers are that it doesn't have the buy-in of the employees involved. And if you don't have the buy-in of your own workers, it isn't going to work smoothly. And it is important for it to be well thought out as opposed to a knee-jerk reaction to, under this statute, we're not able to do this, and we want to be able to do this. Well, why do you want to be able to do it? Is there another way you can get to it? Is what you really want to do a legitimate objective of the government and something that the government, from all policy perspectives, needs to be doing? Or is it something for the ease and convenience of a few people? Is your recruitment problem taking into account the other needs of the government that exists? And if it's throwing something out, is that something that needs to be looked at on the whole, not from the perspective of an individual agency that it's creating problem, but really have a debate about the pros and cons, which sometimes doesn't happen. It's sometimes just who's got the political clout to get out from under a particular system because they say that the system isn't working for them, when in fact they could make the system work if they understood how it worked and had buy-in to the system itself.
One issue of concern in federal government is the upcoming wave of retirement of federal employees. What solutions to the retirement wave do you think government agencies should be considering?
I think they need to be first recognizing where there is going to be a problem. what areas they expect retirements to occur, still respecting individuals' rights, and identifying that as rights of, you know, does somebody want to retire or not, is an independent choice, and recognizing how their agency needs to refocus with regard in a long-term way. That is, you know, if there's nothing wrong with making decisions over, you know, Joe is going to retire, is that an opportunity to look at the function that Joe's office is doing and combine it with another function, change what, determine whether the function is still meeting the agency's needs or needs to be revisited. And I think the most important thing is probably doing management transitions, which is what, you know, transitional planning to create, to ensure that you've created long-term management skills within the agency and given people an opportunity to step up to the plate, which can sometimes be difficult to do, be done with the classification system as it exists now. Classification system as it exists now is something that has been in place for many, many years and sometimes helps create the rigidity or contributes to the rigidity that then contributes to retirement planning. So if you've got somebody who you know is going to retire and you know you're going to fill them, what do you do to both prevent pre-selection of somebody for an inside post, give people the opportunity to recognize that that position is going to become vacant, and how did they and the agency prepare for that opportunity? And I think the best way to do that is to be transparent about it, to talk to the managers and the employees about this is what is happening within our agency and how are we as a organization, not just management, not just the head of the agency, going to deal with that. And I think if there's that kind of transparency and input, you will get people's buy-in, because if people understand why something is being done a certain way and have a chance to comment on it, they may not totally agree with it, but they'll appreciate it, and you're much more likely to get buy-in.
What advice would you give a young person interested in a career in public service?
I think serving the public is an incredibly rewarding activity. I would urge the new person not to get discouraged by the fact that there seem to be so many loopholes on obstacles in terms of, you know, 171s and resumes and finding out information. I would encourage them to call people in the agency and have coffee with them and talk about what they're doing and be aggressive. I would encourage them to look at the PMI program, the Presidential Management Intern Program, and take advantage of it. I would encourage them not necessarily to, now this is my own bias, but not necessarily to stay within the same agency. I think it's good for people to move around. The original concept of the senior executive service in terms of the highest levels of management was that these were going to be people who could move from agency to agency. I don't think that's worked out so well. These were going to be super managers. That was what Scotty Campbell's perception was. And I think people should have fun. They should take jobs because they like them, and when they stop having fun, they should look for something else.
What insights or advice would you have for future leadership?
Transitioning, and I've been transitioning now, became acting chairman, and then in the last month have not been chairman anymore. And one of the things we did in our agency, and I would urge people to do in every agency for incoming leadership, is to establish early, very on, that you are accessible, that things will be done in a transparent fashion, that you expect the senior managers to work together and hold them accountable. It's a very difficult relationship between senior managers, I think, and new leadership when it comes in. Everybody's sort of feeling each other out. How are things going to fall? Who's going to be responsible for what? And I think the incoming leadership in any organization needs to have a number and early meetings with the agency employees One of the things that I did was I met with each group of employees separately to hear from them individually, as well as to meet with the senior managers in a group and get their feedback, express some of the ideas you want to, initiatives you want to take, ask for people's help on those initiatives, throw it around, but also realize you're going to, there are certain things you're going to be able to accomplish, certain things you're not going to be able to accomplish, figure out what you can do with the people, what you get buy-in, and try to accomplish those. But
Beth, I'm afraid we're out of time. Bob and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, I want to thank you, and I want to remind everybody about our website, our way of communicating with the world, which is www.mspb.gov. And encourage people to check it out.
Great. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Beth Slavitt, member, Merit Systems Protection Board. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.